Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" This is our text. My dear friends in Christ, I want to tell you a true story about a little 8-year-old boy who learned a little lesson about hiding. It seems that his mother had left out her sewing machine and all of her sewing paraphernalia, and among it was her prized clothing shears. These were an expensive pair of scissors, probably like my wife's Ginger scissors that she forbids me to use. But the little boy saw them and grabbed hold of them immediately and began to test them out. First, there was the cutting of a thread, and then there was some cloth, so he had to cut that too. But he was old enough to know the dangers of electricity, but he decided to cut the cord to the sewing machine, and he clamped it down, and a bright light shone before his eyes, and sparks flew everywhere. The boy dropped the scissors as the two ends of the cord fell apart from one another. And in fear, he ran down into the basement, into the darkest recesses of the darkest corner where no one could find him because he was afraid. And he stayed in the corner of the basement all afternoon. Now imagine an 8-year-old boy hiding in the dark recesses of a basement. You have to be pretty scared. So with that thought in mind, I want you to consider today's Old Testament lesson. For you have Adam and Eve that had eaten the forbidden fruit, and now they were crouching in the very darkest corner of the Garden of Eden out of fear, because they heard God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. See, they were afraid because they had disobeyed the direct command of God that they were not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and if they ate of it, they would surely die, and now even the taste of death is upon their lips. And what do? They hide. As I was in my office this week thinking about this text and putting together the sermon, I remember when I was on Bickridge in Blue Earth, Minnesota. And my wife had bought one of those fancy bread machines. You know, you put the water and the flour and the yeast and whatever else you want to put in there. And you shut the lid and push the on button and it agitates it and it bakes it. And you wake up the next morning to a fresh loaf of bread. It's amazing. Well, my wife had put together a nice loaf of bread the night before we went to bed. And when she got up the next morning, she discovered that the bread machine was empty. Having two preschool young boys in the house, she knew where to look. So she went into their bedroom, and they weren't on their bunk beds. They were nowhere to be found. And so, perhaps in a bit of a panic, she turned to now look for our boys and the loaf of bread when she hears whispering from under the bed. And she pulls back the bed coverings to discover one loaf of bread, two boys, and one container of honey being smothered over the top of the bread as they were joyfully eating with one another this sticky mess in their bedroom over their carpet. As I thought about that, why did my sons decide that they had to hide under their bed? And why is it that Adam and Eve felt so compelled that they should hide? After all, the damage had already been done. For Adam and Eve, now that they had sinned, everything was different. Once they had that walking together with God in the cool of the day relationship, and now they no longer trusted God. Once they had that closeness of fellowship and the comfort in God's presence, now they are repelled by the presence of God and they want nothing more than to hide from Him and never see Him again. For all of those that talk about this idea of we make decisions to follow God and to be in a relationship with Christ, the book of Genesis tells us a completely different story. See, it wasn't Adam who went seeking God out. It was God who cried out for Adam. Adam was filled with unbelievable fear. Adam knew that what he'd done had been wrong, and Adam wanted nothing more than to flee from God's presence on that tragic day. The point is that he would have been content to hide from God forever, happy to avoid him always, and thus seal his fate and destruction because of his unresolved guilt. Adam was afraid to approach God because he knew what he had done, and his guilt was killing him. But the reality was he needed God more then than ever before. God therefore takes the very first steps towards fallen mankind. And by that, God enables man to step towards God, for God does not rebuke man and say, I will have nothing to do with you. You have forbidden me, if crossed the line and the boundaries I've established for you. But God seeks man out with those precious words are, where are you? And I've often said, well, God isn't very good at hide and go seek. But see, the problem was is that God knew where Adam was. But God wanted Adam to know where he was, lost in sin and darkness. As the text goes on, you hear Adam making that bold confession of his guilt and taking complete responsibility for what he had done. No, Adam says, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. What? The translation there of the Hebrew, it's often translated, I was afraid, but the proper translation is, I trembled with fear. Adam was saying, Lord, I was literally scared out of my mind because of what I had done. But he says, I was naked. Isn't that how God had created Adam and Eve? I don't believe nakedness was the problem at all. The problem with Adam was the guilt he had because of the sin he had committed about eating the fruit that he was told not to. I find it interesting to observe that although the perfect knowledge which Adam once possessed of God had been lost as a result of his sin, that's exhibited by the fact he attempted to hide from God, but the reality was is that Adam still knows that God is omniscient. God knows all things. And he knew very well that God knew that he had eaten of the forbidden fruit. Pitifully, he cowers and hides in vain from a God who he knows will ultimately find him. As I thought about that, I think that Adam and Eve, as a result of our sins in our lives, we live every moment as if we too are in hiding. Think about it for a moment. After the fall and the sin, Adam and Eve's first hiding place wasn't in the trees of the garden. Their first hiding place was to cover themselves with fig leaves and attempt to place a veneer between them and God. And I think if you look in the mirror of God's law, we see that evidenced in our own lives. We put on our veneer of good works, that external and exterior that everyone can see. Look at my life. Look what I've done. Instead of standing before God and saying, you know what, Lord, I have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. I am guilty as charged. Instead, we stand back and say, Lord, look what I've done for you. Look at all of my good works. They're all on display. And by the way, if that are not good enough, the fact of the matter is that everyone else has done the same thing I've done, so why are you looking at me? Why are you being so critical of me? There are times because of our sin we also hide from one another. From offering understanding and offering love and a helping hand, we hide because we don't want to get involved. How often have we heard someone, they have a grievance in their life or something has happened, and we simply go like, I don't want any part of that drama. Even though they're a brother and sister in Christ. We don't love our neighbor as ourselves as we ought to. So often we're hiding behind our own self-righteousness and our own selfishness that we just want to be left alone. Lord, I don't have the time for that. When we're angry, we hide behind our anonymous letters and behind grumbling, gossip, and complaining. We hide because we know that we too are naked. Our sins are readily available in view for all to see. But yet so often, we're just like Adam. You see, our sin isolates us from each other. And isolation is really a form of punishment. I should know something about that, because when I was growing up, I was a little stinker, as my grandma would say. And in school, oftentimes I was set apart by myself in that timeout chair, because quite honestly, I deserved it. You know, I spend a lot of time behind bars and I see hundreds of men and women incarcerated in isolation as a punishment. And as we hide from God, as we hide from one another, we are literally putting ourselves into self-imposed isolation that ultimately leads to death. But in the midst of that isolation, God's word is heard. He draws nearer to us by the day, and He calls out in the same way He called out to Adam, "Where are you?" God knew exactly where Adam was. He was hiding in the trees. But the question God was asking is, "Where are you in respect to me? Where are you in respect to your wife, with respect to the creation that you were a part of?" God calls out to you and me in our hiding places. He will never leave us alone. Even when we seek to hide from Him because of our guilt of sin, He calls out and says, "Where are you? Where are you?" In our hiding place, it could be at work, in our cubicle, in our car, at the dining room table, at an athletic event, wherever it would be, God's voice is always heard. "Where are you?" Well, exposed, Adam hides behind excuses. "Oh, I heard you in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked. I hid myself." And God said, "Who told you that you were naked?" And Adam had every chance to stand up and be a man and take responsibility for what he had done. But Adam says, "God, it's actually your fault. Because you remember that woman that you gave to be with me? She gave me the fruit and I ate of it. So it's all about you. You're the one that fell short." And then God looks to Eve and says, "What have you done?" And Eve's response, "It wasn't me, it was the serpent." Still hiding behind excuses, even when they're in the very presence of God Himself. See, Adam and Eve's real problem wasn't that they eaten of the tree that they weren't supposed to, although obviously that was a big problem. The biggest problem of all was that the fact that they neglected to eat from the tree that God had given them, the tree of life. I wonder sometimes what our excuses are. I wonder why you hide from God. Why don't you have a great desire to hear God's word, especially His word of holy absolution that says all of your sins are forgiven? Why is it that you hide from the opportunity to hear the voice of the Good Shepherd through His word? Why is it that we hide from God and we don't spend hours each day in prayer speaking to God as if we would our very, very best friend? And I ask myself often of myself, what is my excuse? Busyness? Other plans? There's other things that are more important, Pastor. Nonsense. This is what hiding from God today looks like. You ever had a disagreement with a friend? And you're kind of sideways with them, and one of the first things that we do is that they begin to avoid us. You run into them at church and they kind of like go down the opposite aisle, or you're at work and they simply don't talk to you anymore. That's kind of what a relationship with the Heavenly Father feels like when we hide from Him. But the answer of our hiding is always confession. We speak to God and admit our shame and our sin. I told you that Adam and Eve never confessed. They just pointed fingers at one another and at God Himself. But the reality is, confession draws us out of hiding. Confession takes off the veneer of the good works that we have placed before between us and God, and we actually acknowledge who we are before Him. You did that in a way as this service began. We are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, or however the confession went this morning. But the reality was, we've confessed before God, acknowledging where we have gone wrong. We die to ourselves and that self-delusion that we can somehow cover ourselves with our own good works, our fig leaves, or hide from God's presence forever. We acknowledge before Him, I, Lord, am a sinner. I have sinned against you in my thoughts, my words, and my deeds. I justly deserve your eternal punishment. But God, be merciful to me, a poor, miserable sinner. Well, you may be wondering what happened to the 8-year-old little boy who used his mother's, I'm going to call him Ginger Scissors, to cut the cord and to hide in the basement. Well, you wouldn't be surprised that she found him in the darkest recesses of the basement. And when she found him, she didn't even ask him if he had done it. She simply asked him, "Son, what happened when you cut the sewing machine cord with the scissors?" And after having been hidden all afternoon, he had kind of forgot about his line of defense. And he says, "Mom, sparks flew all over." It was then that he had realized that he had confessed his sin to his mother. And he was completely reliant upon her mercy. But to his utter amazement, his mother never punished him. She never got mad at him. He wasn't spanked, he wasn't grounded, he wasn't fined, but he did have to help his father fix the cord. So it is with you and your Heavenly Father. Scripture says when we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. As we stand before our Heavenly Father and confess who we are, Jesus, the second Adam, is the one who takes upon His flesh our sin. And when Adam would hide from God, Jesus, as the second Adam, doesn't hide from the Heavenly Father. But He makes His way to the cross of Calvary where He suffers and dies for all the times when you and I have hidden from our Heavenly Father. Jesus' words to us are simply, hide in me. Don't hide in the bushes by yourself. Hide behind the tree of life, which is my cross. I will protect you there. You don't have to be ashamed. You have been baptized in my death and resurrection. You are a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. Leave behind those designer fig leaves of your own holiness and cover yourself with my seamless robe of perfect righteousness. Perhaps you've heard of the woman by the name of Corrie Ten Boom. I actually had to Google this to make sure I had the right country, but she was a Dutch woman who was also a clock or watchmaker. And during World War II, she had saved many Jews from the hands of the Nazis during the war. And if the story I remember is correct, she was once asked by someone, "When you get to heaven and God asks you, Corrie, why should I let you into my kingdom? What would you say?" Corrie's words were simply, "I would say nothing. I would simply hide behind Jesus." This morning, as you and I gather in this place, we come to hide in the righteousness of Christ, to receive His forgiveness, life, and salvation that covers a multitude of our sins. And in that we say, Amen. We rise together. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord.